and welcome to another episode of Building Minnesota Rocker, brought to you by WeWork. We're downtown again at the WeWork. Shout out to them for providing us this space. Today we are joined by Aaron Swartz, the director of brand and creative at the Minnesota Vikings and also True North Creative. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we also have Annie Scott Riley, the VP of Marketing and Creative here at the team. And then, as always, Brett Diamond, the COO. Joins us again. And me, I'm Ashley, aka Midnight. I'm here hanging out as usual. So today we're super stoked to have Aaron on because you and your team, True North Creative, made what's behind us, the logo, the branding. I wanted to make sure we had you on so that we could talk to you about the concepts, how we got onto this logo or this brand. Figurehead, I guess you got. What would you call it? Is it like a helmeted figure, or do you have like an internal name that you guys were calling him when you were creating him?
No, not yet. I mean, for a while there, we thought about him as like sort of like the light monster, or you know, that kind of that feeling. But we didn't really name him just yet, kind of intentionally, right? You don't know what he's gonna be just yet.
Yeah, right.
We started referring to him in written materials as the mysterious helmeted figure emerging from the shadows.
Deep purple and black.
There you go.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan of the logo and all the work you guys have done alongside us so far. Since you and Brett work together in this process, I want to kind of hear your guys' back and forth on, like, where did this start? Did you start making the logo before the name, or did it come after the name? Kind of talk to me a little bit, guys, about how we got to where we are with the branding and where did it start?
Yeah, well, Brett, I don't know. You can jump in at any point.
Yeah, well, I'll share a funny story to start out with. Uh-oh.
I previously
worked for the Vikings. I think most people that have watched our podcast know that.
Yeah.
Aaron was one of the first people to find out that I was switching roles because we needed to start talking to her about this process, right? So I went into her office and closed the door and said, "So, I'm going to tell you something that, you know, not really anyone is aware of yet, but but the Will family has invested in a Call of Duty League team. I'm going to be switching roles and playing a role in that. And we'd love for you all and your wonderfully talented group, which they are, to design our logo."
Yeah, it was fun. It was a pretty exciting opportunity. You know, my staff does mostly the Vikings work, but loves any new opportunity to get out and do stuff outside of that world.
Yeah.
So it started really with just brainstorming. It's one of our favorite things to do. We've got a space at Vikings headquarters called the Wilf Deck, and it's just this beautiful outdoor patio. And so I just scheduled a two-hour brainstorm on a beautiful afternoon, and we all went out there and just started riffing on what it could be. Someone had a whiteboard or a sketchboard, was writing down ideas as we went and kind of categorizing different ideas. But I'd say it first just started with what could the name be, right? There was no idea visual, and we fell into some categories, right? There was a category that was talking about the North and Minnesota and sort of the geographical and climate about this space. So we were talking about like things like slate or aspen or frost or, you know, could we get into this world of like the cold climate of the North?
Yeah.
Then there was another version where we thought about, well, how can we connect to the Wilf's other properties like the Vikings, but maybe in a way that isn't so direct? So can we take this idea of Vikings, but go way farther, go back into Norse mythology, some of that really cool stuff? And so we spent a good hour just riffing on things from like Bifrost Bridge and Odin and, you know, some of this really cool mythology stuff. And really that's where we landed in this rocker world, where we kind of started riffing on those ideas. So
I don't know how far down this road we went, but we talked a little bit about like astrology and tying back to Northern Lights and
those sorts of themes.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of that is actually due to what we know about the Vikings, which is they used the stars to really navigate. And so a lot of their mythology was built into stars and constellations because it was about how they traveled and where they went. And so, yeah, there was a minute there where we were talking about sort of some of that. Okay. But yeah, we kind of jumped around these areas. What could What could this team own really authentically? What was a corner of the market that no one else would have, right? And anybody can put a name on something and a couple colors, but what could be the really unique thing about this? And I don't think anyone's really dealing in Norse mythology in this way that you guys can really own that space, which is really cool. It's a really badass kind of space to be in.
Yeah, I think especially, Annie came on board and what were your interpretations or what did you think about the name when you learned it and how unique it is? What's the opportunity there with a more unique style name instead of just kind of like a generic name?
I think it's the opportunity to really own it. The fact that the word doesn't exist in the Norwegian language today is really cool. Like it's something that we can uniquely own. And if you hear rocker, you're gonna know they're talking about us. And that's something that's really hard to come by in this day and age when, especially with the internet, every available word in the world seems to have something associated with it. Like, if you've ever tried to, buy a website domain, you know what it's like. Yeah. Everything is taken. Everything is something now. And so for Aaron's group to go out and find something that does have this deeper meaning, but that wasn't, totally monopolized by some other industry or some other company is... I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
So funny story about how that all went down, that 2-hour brainstorm session where we're all just vibing on each other. We must have been an hour and a half in when one of the incredibly talented members of my team, Dane Kuhn, brought up, well, what about Ragnarok? Right? It's like this battle at the end of, the twilight of the gods, this battle at the end of it all. And we literally, a bunch of us just dropped our phones or our pens. It was like, mic drop, everyone's done. Like, we're done here, enjoy the rest of your time. We're done. And we all just sort of walked away, high-fiving Dane. And someone would say, what about? We're like, nope. Dane decided it's Ragnarok. We're moving on. And that was a good start, right? Yeah. That got us into a place we felt really good about. I think pretty early on we discovered we're going to have some trademark issues with that. And to your point, Annie, we couldn't own it authentically, right?
Yeah.
But from there, Dane, again, went even deeper and did a lot of research. He kind of broke down the word Ragnarok into what each of those mean. And Ragna, and then at the end of it is rocker, which means twilight. And that's when we all sort of had a moment where we looked at each other like, huh, twilight. Because when you say the word twilight, it may mean one thing or another. But when you say something like twilight of the gods, it really takes on a different feeling, right?
That's badass.
Yeah, it's like just... And so we started talking about this moment that just as everything's about to go dark and just as it fades, the very last thing you see, it kind of gave us goosebumps, right? We're like, okay, that's what we're working with here. And so that's when Dane went back and came up with this amazing logo with that idea.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Shout out to Dane, by the way. I've met him, and I was, super kind of stoked when I met him because I knew that he'd had a big part in bringing the logo to life.
Yeah, it was funny. So he came down to do our player shoot the first time that we had the players in, and it was as soon as we told everyone that, he was the, the first one to take a crack at the logo, everyone was suddenly he was a celebrity. Dane, oh, yeah.
I love that. He's, pretty shy but crazy talented and totally deserves the hype.
Yeah. So. Dane is always welcome to let us give
Shout out to Dane.
Hype. Yeah, absolutely.
Dane has a secret cameo in the brand reveal video.
Oh, he does?
Is he one of the guys playing?
It's a shadow figure.
That's really cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So for me, my favorite part of the logo is not only I really like the drab of the face, whatever that is, cloth or whatever, but the light obviously hitting and one of the eyes glowing. Was that something that came pretty quick in the process, or was it, you had this helmeted kind of figure and then you guys were like, but what if we light one of his eyes up? What was kind of the strategy behind that? Because we've really kind of gone with that so far in the brand reveal.
Yeah, well, I think really early on Dean had a version of this. I mean, there was dozens of versions this, right, with lots of different shapes of horns and face.
I saw when I was brought on, I looked at a sheet that had maybe 10 or 20 different versions on it. And
the funny thing is, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, so we looked at all these different variations of different horns and small modifications, and I think we landed right back at the first version of the horn.
Yeah,
right?
He got here pretty quickly. What I always loved about it, he sort of showed us a page full of dozens of logos that had various iterations of this. What I always loved about it is it feels like this face is illuminated from behind, mm-hmm. almost like the moon is glowing from behind them, and that's yeah. where you're getting that. But then what's cool, then you're like, well, then why is his eye lit up? And so it's sort of like the same sort of mystical feeling that's coming from behind him is also within him.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of unknown of what happens when things get dark. And I love the duality of that.
Yeah.
So that's where I think it really pulls you in that way.
I like how unsettling he is. I don't know. There's right. just something about like unsettling about the brows and how they kind of look under the mask. And I don't know. I love the eye. Like I said, we've already kind of used like in our reveal video, Annie kind of having those eyes start glowing towards the end of it. I just thought that was a really cool riff off of that.
Yeah, you know, and it wasn't until we talked with Erin's team in depth and had kind of like this download where she walked us through everything that she went through to get there and everything that Dane had designed. And when we started talking about that eye and how that eye is glowing from within, all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a second, we have to play with this. We have to do something with this eye.
So it's pretty obvious to me, as soon as I heard about the team, you know, I hadn't started working with us yet. But I thought, dude, it's going to be so sick. You know, maybe it'll be like a Vikings gaming and I know their color is going to be purple. I'm really glad that obviously we have our own kind of flair. I mean, you can, like you said, you can tie it to the Vikings. You can tie it to the region. But I'm glad that it's not too weather related, because then, you know, if you're, you know, you're a fan of one of our players, but you live somewhere warm, you know, you feel like you can still rep. What was the process like? Obviously, I kind of expected the color to be purple, but this is actually a different color purple, right, than the Vikings. And why did we go with blue as kind of the alternate or the secondary color?
Yeah, well, there's lots of different other options. You know, one of the things Brett and I talked about early is that this team will eventually live kind of on the same campus in the same space as the Vikings.
Yeah.
Certainly are coming from the same family. And so having a similar palette mm-hmm. makes a lot of that easier, right?
Yeah.
But I've had a lot of experience working with Vikings purple, and it can be challenging, right? Sometimes it looks too blue. Sometimes it looks too magenta. sometimes it isn't very cool to rep bright purple shirts.
Yeah.
And so we talked about having a version of it that maybe still has kind of a Viking purple tone in the palette, but yeah. giving you another purple that's much darker, that's easier to wear, that looks a little cooler on merch and apparel. And then we started playing around with a bunch of different other colors that could go with it, right?
What were some of the other colors besides this really cool?
There was a pretty sweet reddish orange that for a minute we really liked. I didn't think that I would like purple and red together, but it looked cool. Really?
We might find a way to use that.
Yeah, there's a sometimes cool. moment for that, yeah. right?
That's angry looking.
That was kind of it.
Yeah. Imagine if his eye was
orange. It was super intense.
Yeah, yeah. So it was sort of like that berserker Viking, right? Have you heard about that? Uh-huh, yeah, when things get real intense. There was a lime green for a while that we really liked.
Purple and green.
Yeah, that was an early favorite of mine. It was a little too much like T-Wolves Gaming, the Timberwolves yeah. NBA 2K team. There, they lean heavily into that neon green, so it was a little too much like their color.
Yeah. I suppose.
So what this palette, I think, kind of lived in this version of the Aurora Borealis, right?
Yeah.
When you talk about sort of, again, if you're talking about the lights going down, and Dane did a whole color study of, like, what does the sky look like as the sun goes down? What are all the variations of colors?
Yeah.
And we were kind of pulling colors out of that and then trying them in the logo. And I think this blue really resonated because it fits in there without being too much of a contrast, and yet it pops.
Yeah, that's my favorite part about it. Like, I would have to look at the color schemes that you guys were just talking about, but I like this because it is, like, blue is closely related to purple, but when you, like, have it this bright, I just think it looks super, super badass, so. So for True North Creative, obviously that's a subset or a subgroup within the Vikings creative team, or explain to me kind of, like, how you guys got to having your own little group within the organization.
Yeah, well, over the past decade, we've been adding people to the Vikings graphic design team and creative team.
Mm-hmm.
And we've grown to such a point, especially as the work got bigger with the new stadium and then the new practice facility. We've done two museums now, right? We needed a lot of staff. And as we've built up those staff over time, we've gotten really... the bench has gotten really deep, so to speak, in terms of talent,
awesome.
Right? We've got some people that are amazing at logos, some people that are great at, like, spatial design, other people that are really good at social and digital work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were growing this group, it felt really important to us that if we establish ourselves as not just an in-house agency, but an in-house agency that could also service outside work. Yeah. So we started early in with the Minnesota Super Bowl host committee.
Awesome.
It's kind of an early client, just kind of helping them out just a little bit with some of their work.
It's a huge first client.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we knew some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a good first start. And then obviously it makes a lot of sense with Rocker being right in our backyard to partner. So we're just getting started with this idea and taking on some additional work. I love it because the team is so creative. And I think that when you work for an in-house brand, it's really hard to keep putting out new and creative product all the time.
Yeah.
But so if you can throw in some kind of curveballs.
Yeah, this is super different. I mean, you guys would make a whole new logo. Like,
yeah.
Because with the Vikings, that's the logo. I mean, I think there are iterations over time that have happened to that, but it's basically the same thing, right? So was it kind of like a nice change of pace to get to kind of brainstorm not only like a name for a team, find out the history, there's trademark things going on there, and then just conceptualizing beyond that? Is that kind of way out of the norm for like a regular day or regular client?
Yeah, I think what was really cool about it is we really just got done making the Minnesota Vikings Museum, where we did a real deep dive on the Minnesota Vikings history, which is 60 years old now, and where did our logos come from, and where did the name come from?
Yeah.
And so we just kind of got done telling that story.
Right.
And so it wasn't lost on us in this process that we were at the front end of this version, right? That 60 years from now, somebody might be telling our story.
That's crazy.
And that was really cool to think about.
So, yeah.
And maybe if we hadn't just gone through that process ourselves, it may not have resonated with us as much, but it wasn't lost on us what a cool opportunity is to do something like this completely from scratch and brand new.
Yeah.
But with a little bit of experience to know kind of what works and what doesn't, at least from our little corner of the world.
And I think for anyone that's involved with this team from day one, it's that unique opportunity to be a part of building it from the ground up. And I think particularly on the creative side, like you said, I mean, this is something that, you know, hopefully 60 years from now, this is the logo of Minnesota Rocker.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that everybody on your team that touched it at this point can look back on down the road. And, you know, every time they see that logo, you know, whether it's on TV or on a stream or on a, you know, on a sweatshirt walking around, I mean, that's a really unique, cool way to be involved in something like this.
The really cool part, I think, about this beginning is that, you know, we can all sit and have a start at what this is.
Yeah.
But really, once it gets out there to the fans and the players and the team and how they continue to grow it and evolve it, and what does Twilight mean to us, and what do we mean when we say Rocker, and what are the sort of fan rituals and associations that come with it? Like, you just get to get started. You put it out into the world, but what it becomes, you don't really get to control. You're just along for the ride, and that's the really fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that's the interesting part, too, as people have been, you know, fans have been looking at this logo and that logo, and there's a lot of chatter on social media, you know, what logo's the best, this or that. At the end of the day, like you just said, it's what you do with it that counts, right? You can have the best logo and the best branding, but if as a team you don't engage with fans the right way and you don't put out good content, it doesn't go anywhere. Now, you know, I frankly think we're starting from a pretty good place with this logo, right? So we're, you know, we're starting on,
starting on second base. We've got a good
foundation. Yeah.
I think, like, laying this foundation and putting, like, this cool of branding out right away, like, opens up fans' eyes to want to come up with a chant or to represent it. And, like, I've already seen, like, they're already thinking of chants. Like, we haven't even had our first event yet, but I'm seeing people say, you know, what if we chant this way? That might sound cool. And we'll see what happens to our first event at the Armory, January 24th, 25th, 26th. We're hosting all 12 of the Call of Duty League teams.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's a huge, like, usually I think most home games and things will just be like, you know, a couple teams come in. Whereas this first event, this is the Call of Duty League launch weekend. So everybody's coming here. It's going to be a big deal. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I've already like some of the things that Dane did for like our Twitter header, for example, with the, what's that word?
The runic pattern.
Yeah, the rune pattern. Yeah, the ruins. That's what I was trying to think of. So I'm picturing like a banner, like a vertical banner with those on it with our logo. And like, I'm just picturing just how like this is going to manifest itself at our events, what our fans are going to do with the logo. And just, I'm just super stoked about
that. That was another pencil drop moment for us. Like when he pulled up his screen and showed us sort of those ruins and how when you like kind of says rocker, we were all like, whoa, show us more of that.
Yeah.
Like, because he kind of flew through it. Like, well, I was doing this thing with patterns. And we're like, go back to that one. Yeah. Like, show us more. So, there's some cool stuff.
I'm personally a big fan of just more abstract stuff like that. Like, I like a Twitter header with a bunch of different, like, I know that sounds so silly. I'm talking about Twitter header. But really, like, when I'm repping a Twitter header, I like that it has layers. And it has, like if someone was to actually take a look at it, it's not just two colors and a logo. It's deep. I don't know. I'm into that.
It's kind of like what you pinpointed on. What the beauty of this brand is that it isn't defined and that maybe the basis of it is mystery. Like, mm-hmm. what happens when? And you guys and the fans, and the, like, everyone's going to be on board for what happens when, right? Like, when we show up, when we win, when we take it to the next level. Like, I really love that this thing doesn't have a start and an end. It's just begun.
It's evolving constantly. Yeah. It's going to.
And we want to be really careful with that mystery, right?
Right.
Like, that's why I've been so, you know, people have been saying, oh, should we give him a name? And I'm kind of like,
I don't want to name him yet. Maybe if he earns a name.
Yeah, maybe he'll earn his own name. But, like, the second we give him a name, whatever that name is associated with, all that baggage comes with it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I'm not ready to, I don't think he deserves anybody's baggage yet.
Yeah.
So mysterious helmeted figure is here to stay, is what you're saying?
It's a woman. No, I don't know.
Hey, could be.
I'm there for that.
Low key, it could be. I like the ominous, kind of just unsettling. It's not a, you know, a person, place, or thing. It's just, it's rocker. I think that's really cool and really special. So,
Aaron, let's talk a little bit more about the process of how True North worked with us to develop that logo. Because even though it's the in-house Vikings design team, really we worked with True North as an agency and as any other brand or new company would in working with an outside agency to develop that from the ground up. So we'd love to have you talk a little bit more about what that creative process looks like within your team.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we started with brainstorming just the name, right? What could that be? Mm-hmm. And from that idea of Ragnarok, I think Dane just felt incredibly inspired and said, I'm going to go home and work on this all weekend. Is that cool? Like, yeah, that's always cool.
Heck yeah, Dane.
And, you know, we came back on Monday with some amazing things that looked pretty close to this. And we knew we were pretty close pretty fast. And so that's when I went back to the team at Wolf Sports, Esports, and basically said, I've got a mini presentation for you, right? And it started with just the names. Here's some versions of names in category A, B, and C. And they did exactly what we did, which is like, Ragnarok, that makes sense. Let's stay in that world. Now, again, we didn't think we could own it. So then it became, Aaron, take that back. Let's see how we can have a version that feels like that feels, but can be unique and owned to it. So from that version, we broke out, as I explained, Ragnarocker, talk about what rocker means, and that's how it pulled out from there. But really, the back and forth was a lot of just small tweaks. You know, there's a version where we said, should he have a horned helmet? Let's go back and we'll give you 17 versions without a horn or different kinds of horns. We presented those to you guys. Your response was like, we liked him the way he was.
There was one version that was exactly like the Vikings horn, right? And we looked at that and said, it looks cool, but it's a little too much.
That's
Vikings.
Right. Yep, that's right. And we did it almost to say we tried.
Yeah.
Right? So let's do that. And then it was pretty clear, like, we don't like it, but I'm glad we tried it so we knew.
Yeah.
We went on color for weeks. Mm-hmm. Color is a thing.
Was picking these two was just a lot of back and forth.
Getting the general idea of that was a lot easier than getting the actual idea of it. What a Pantone looks on screen versus what it looks like in the book versus what it looks like in textuals, it makes such a difference. That's true. We had such a tough time. And every time I would tell Brad, like, we got it, here are your color codes, then I'd come back and be like, just kidding, wait. So getting those perfect was real tough.
Well, and there was even a debate about, you know, just how dark it should be, because there's also an element, as you've referred to, of this, you know, the mysterious helmeted figure and the logo, or and the word itself, are coming out of the shadows.
Yeah.
And so we're playing into that with having a dark purple that, you know, that kind of fades into the black a little bit, right?
Right. But then, you know, does it pop on black? Is that a problem? How does that look? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of those conversations that went back and forth too.
You know, how does it look? You know, how does it look on camera? How does it look on merch? How does it look? You know, it's one thing, you know, okay, Ashley and I are wearing the merch right now. does that look different on a podcast than it looks when our players are wearing it in a competition?
Yeah.
Right. And that's where you want it to really pop. So we'll actually look a little bit different when you see it on the player jerseys than how it looks on Ashley's sweatshirt right now.
That's super exciting to kind of know, like, not only the process internally that you guys were going through, but then to, like, you know, show ownership and say, hey, here's all these options. Yeah. Where do we land?
And one of the really impressive things too, and Aaron was talking about that process that they go through and that level of detail of Dane having a, you know, looking at all the different colors that are associated with Twilight as the sun fades. I mean, that's an amazing amount of work to do in such a compressed time frame too. And we've talked about that a little bit in other contexts, but you think about a team, and I use the NHL team in Seattle as the example, right? There's an NHL expansion team coming into Seattle. They've already been up and running with some of this stuff for a year and a half, and they have 3 more years or whatever it is until they actually start play, right? And so you have that, you know, that's the amount of time that you want to really go through all this process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredibly impressive that, you know, Aaron's team basically did that amount of work in a few months, right? I mean, that's one of the challenges that every team in our league has. You know, every CDL team had, you know, anywhere from 6 months to a couple weeks to figure these things out. And that's when you run into things like trademark issues where, you know, some of the names we looked at are, you know, the trademark attorneys would say, well, you can probably get through that if you're willing to fight a trademark battle that might last 2 years. But you don't have the luxury of that when, oh yeah, our first match is in 9 months or 6 months or less. So yeah, we got to go in a different direction. But I think it's really funny too. We looked at the list of names that didn't make it through the trademark process, and none of those I would have put in front of Rocker anyway.
That's true. Yeah, I think we started wide, right? Yeah. We cast a really wide net. Here are like 17 names we could be okay with. Luckily, the ones that made it through were at the top for us. But
yeah. Our trademark attorney is well compensated in this process.
Well, that whole thing was just really, to your point about, it's one thing to sort of design these things or pick the colors, but there was just a lot of detail to go through really fast. I mean, we were trying to hunt down that professor of Old North mythology, just like, how would we spell Rocker? And is it an umlaut or a slash through the O? And is it an actual word now? Was it then? I mean, we were really trying to hunt down this kind of information so we knew what we were coming to the table with. Yep. It's true.
Yeah, and the funny part is, so there was this professor we connected with over the summer as we were in the final stages of finalizing the name. And I emailed him, you know, probably, you know, 5 or 6 questions, and it was a several paragraph email, and it turned out he was on vacation. So my next email was, does Rocker mean Twilight? Let's just start there and let's make sure we check that box.
That's right.
And that what we found on Google is correct.
We did find another professor. So yes. We are now in contact with a second professor who also validates everything that you found out in the first place.
Yes, we got the cosign.
We found someone who's not on vacation.
Yes.
Fair. But just all of that was really a scramble, right? We were finding color codes from Pantone that weren't in their current books. And then we're getting them to overnight us in an updated book to make sure that the actual looked different than the screen. Like, it was a lot of, like, last-minute things that you wouldn't anticipate. It made it a little bit more of an emergency than making a logo should be. but that also made it a little bit more fun, right?
Keeps it exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
That must have been a huge change of pace for you guys then, just to have, like, kind of a, not a scramble, but, you know, you're in a much more fluid environment as far as like, well, is this going to go here? Okay, no. What do we do next?
You know, what I will say about my crew is if they do anything, they do it fast, right? We've been in a situation for years now where we're just producing a ton of content in a short period of time, and they are just incredibly talented at working well under pressure. So sometimes having a tight deadline means better work just because it really kind of ups
brings the
fuel.
Brings the best.
I think most people do their best work when there's a deadline or where there's some urgency.
When you need to clutch up, that's when your true talent can kind of come out.
Right. And it was a lot of fun for me to work with your team in this context too, where, you know, having a chance to, you know, again, we talked about earlier, but build something like this from scratch is so unique. And I've always been very impressed by the work that they've done with the Vikings, but to watch them literally create something from nothing was really fun.
Yeah, it was a really cool process for us. I mean, for us, it's not just a logo, but a story and a meaning. And when you can find that deeper meaning and to our earlier conversation, if you can connect it and allow fans and players to bring more meaning to it, right? That's the real win, right? You don't want to have an open and shut story here. I think it's still going.
No, you guys.
There's some layers to this one.
Yeah,
for sure.
You've built a beautiful foundation. Can't thank you guys enough again. True North Creative, shout out.
All them.
Yeah.
I'm just around to watch them in awe.
Next time I'm at the facility, I mean, I already did, but I'm going to come through and give a bunch of high fives.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me down at WeWork. This is cool.
No, yeah, awesome. And shout out to WeWork again for providing the space for us to rock on this awesome content. We will be eventually at our facility and our headquarters in Eagan, Minnesota, right on the same campus as the Vikings facility. So we're super stoked about that. I'm going to come annoy you guys all the time.
Good.
So get ready. But thank you, Annie. Thank you, Brett. And thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. Whatever platform you are viewing or listening on, please leave us a like rating or rate us 5 stars. Whatever you kids do nowadays, leave a comment. What would you like to hear about on the future episodes? What type of guests would you like us to have? What topics would you like us to discuss? I know the last episode or two has been super branding heavy, but that's just... what just happened? It's very topical. We just revealed our branding, and it's really cool to get kind of a peek behind the curtain for this episode.